Okay, we are still in Hebrews chapter 12. Talking about our Hebrew brothers and sisters. You know, the people that we talk about, we are going to meet them one day in glory. We're going to speak with Abraham if we have time between our praise and worship of the Lord and Isaac and Jacob and all of those we talked about, and Samson. And, you know, Samson repented. Samson made a big mistake, but Samson repented, prayed, and God answered his prayer. And in his death, he killed more than he did in all of his life. And so for some reason, that's what he was about. And Jephthah and all of these characters that we've talked about here, and I say characters, caricatures or whatever, but people that we talked about, we're going to meet them one day. The last time we studied Hebrews 12, we ended in verse 5 and 6. And this is verse 5 and 6. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. The writer here is recalling a particular verse in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, which says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the father the son in whom he delighteth. In other words, trials and sufferings in the Christian's life come from God, and he uses them to educate and to discipline believers. Such dealings are evident as God's love for his children, just like a parent. If you love your child, you will correct that child, because that child is going to get in a lot of trouble down the road doing the wrong kind of thing and developing the wrong types of habits and the wrong types of practices. It's important to correct that child early so that they won't wind up in trouble or dead somewhere doing something that you let them get away with that other folks not going to let them get away with. Amen? People will correct them for you, but it's not a loving correction. So we correct them early. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. In other words, this thing that I have is keeping me humble. That's what it's doing. For this thing, he said, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. That is almost a conundrum. When I'm weak, he said, then am I strong. Father, we thank you for your word, for your teaching, and for your direction. We thank you for the light that comes because of your word, and that is empowered and made known to us by your Spirit, who is the teacher. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've set up for us, all that you put in place for your son Jesus. We thank you that you sent the Holy Ghost by him when he came to sit at your right hand. And Jesus, as he spoke of the Holy Ghost, said that he will instruct you and teach you and lead and guide you into all truth. And he will remind you of everything that I've said unto you. And so, Holy Ghost, continue to perform your mighty work in our midst. Remind us of what Jesus has said to mankind. Instruct us and teach us. Lead and guide us into all truth. And regardless of how we kick and scream and complain, Holy Ghost, please don't back away. Help us, O Lord, to learn obedience to you. And it's for our good, and it's for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have you sometimes found yourself in weakness? Got some nice chuckles out of that. body broken. Amen. Lingering sickness or some other malady that's plaguing you and you just can't seem to shake it. Remember, Bill, as a young man, something get hold of us. We said, I shake it. A couple of days, we shake it. Yeah. But as young men, we could. Now, somehow, we made it through and we would shake it. I can shake it. But see, the wisdom in a young man is to learn when he can't shake it like he used to shake it. That's when you start doing other things to deal with it. And so as you get older, you can't shake everything like before. And so that means you have to be very diligent if you're going to survive. If you can't shake it, you still got to make it. Amen. You'll break it for sure. Amen. Have you had any chronic conditions? Chronic, something that's just there. The Apostle Paul says, rejoice! He says, rejoice. This is the very condition that makes you strong. Rejoice. Listen, God is giving, you know, this Christian speak, if you allow me to say that, it's a totally different language than the one we grew up speaking. Completely, totally different. It's nothing like anything that we grew up speaking. You will say certain things according to scripture and folks out in the world will try to correct you. And so that's not how that goes. It's supposed to go like this. You say, well, it might go like that with you. But this is how it goes with me. Sometimes the problem is hereditary. Sometimes we're born and these types of things just kind of jump in. Some folks call it a generational curse. And many people, they strive to break the generational curse. And they pray and they come against it and they fast and they do things like that. And to those that are able to do it, I say, congratulations. Praise the Lord. I got something mom had, and it's not because I want it. It just followed through some kind of way. But amen. I remember her. Sometimes it's because of ill-chosen diets. You eat wrong. Just Angie can tell you that. She tries to eat right. I'm not like that. I try to eat right sometimes. Sometimes I just eat. Yeah, I just praise the Lord. But I'm conscious of it. And sometimes it's due to bad chemical environmental exposure. Sometimes it's in the air. Things in the air. Some people tolerate certain chemicals better than others. And you could be sitting right next to a person, they could go in a full-blown anaphylactic attack because of something in the air. And you wonder, what in the world is wrong with this person? Nothing's bothering me. But people are different. And sometimes it's due to chemical or environmental exposure, things that hit us. Sometimes it's age-related. You and my brother can relate to that. And, yeah, man, Paul made it so that we cannot exclude the devil's part in this. And so while I say the devil is defeated, he's still very active, but he's defeated to us. Come on. That wasn't deep, was it? Okay. He's still defeated, but he's still very active, but he's defeated to us. That means we don't have to succumb to him, but we can. But he's not Lord of our lives. But sometimes it's appropriated to him. And Paul mentioned that. He said, this thing in my flesh was a messenger of Satan. So we cannot, even if we don't like talking about it, we cannot exclude Satan in the different attacks that come. Now, we can exclude him. We can include him personally and say that, well, the devil came and bothered me. But I think he's got a whole lot more things to do than come bother you. Or me, I'm pretty much my own big problem most of the times. You know, he just look at me and chuckle and say, don't worry about him. Yeah, he's helping me and don't know it. See, that's why I say pray for me. But he's also very defeated, meaning we do not have to do what he say do. If you don't belong to Christ, you will do what your Lord tells you to do. And one that does not belong to Christ is subject to the devil and his kingdom. Y'all got all stirred up with all this movement. But this is important. If you don't belong to Christ, you will do what your Lord, Satan, tells you to do. I don't care what you say. I'm just not going to do what the devil says. Yes, you will. He's over you. You're going to do what he tells you to do. You can kick and scream all you want, but I'm not telling you, but this is for you to tell somebody else, I guess, that you say, well, I like to go to church, or do you belong to Jesus? Well, I'm a Baptist, you know. Well, that's good. You belong to Jesus. You know Jesus. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Lutheran. My mama was a Baptist, and my daddy was. Well, and they'll evade that question, you know, they will. When they start evading the question, there's a good chance they don't know him. You know why? If you know him, you know that you know him. You know that you know him. You know him. You know that you know him. That's not something you'll evade. You say, well, as a matter of fact, I do. Amen. Many times, many of these things could go by another name called the chastening of God. Hebrews 12:7-8 continues and says, if we endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? It is because of imperfection that the true children of God are chastised at one time or another, in one way or another. It's because of our imperfections. Our Lord uses chastisement to teach and discipline us, sometimes through punishment, as with children. Nothing got my attention more than that switch in Mama's hand. She always would tell me first. She always gave me the opportunity. And after a point, she got mad and she got the switch. Now, I know that's not the same as God's loving chastisement. But sometimes punishment gets the attention that is needed. We don't all need to be chastised all the time. We just need to obey God. The Israelites wanted a king. Remember that? Give us a king. God did not want them to have a king. But they insisted that they wanted a king. So God allowed them to have a king, and his name was Saul. That was Israel's first king, and they paid a price for demanding this first king. He was a poor king. He was filled with disobedience, and he hated God's anointed, David. Disobedience and hatred. That was the first king. God told him to do something, he'd go do something else. He tried to prophesy at a time when it was for the prophet to prophesy. He wanted to be a prophet. He was a king, now he wanted to be a prophet. Then God sent him and said, destroy all the people in the land. He kept some of the people, the good-looking, the beautiful people, the Hollywood-type-looking people, and good-looking ones, and the good animals, and said, we're going to sacrifice to God. God don't know what he's talking about. And the prophet said, what have you done? He said, well, I did kill everyone, just like God said, but I kept the king, and I kept the best sacrifices. They paid a price for that. They pushed past God's will. He said, you don't need a king. You've got me. He said that. You've got me. Why do you need a king? We want a king like the other nations. So he told his man, he said, give them a king. Tell them they'll have their king, and he gave him Saul. Good looking, tall. He was taller than all the rest, Saul. From this, we learn that God's choice for you, no matter how unpopular, always is always the best choice for you. Always. However, if you insist on having it your way, beware that God might let you have it your way. Hey, he'll do it. He's done it in the past. He will do it again today. He'll tell you a number of times to say, this is not for you. You're not ready for this. It's a bit early for the Jag. It's a bit early for the house, a house that size. It's a bit early for this relationship, a bit early for this kind of circumstances. But just hang in there with me and I will build you up to a place where you can receive this and be maintained in it. You say, I want it now. I will have it now. Go ahead. He's not going to knock the cigarette out your mouth. He's not going to take the liquor and break it up against the wall. He's just going to tell you, that stuff's going to kill you, boy. You're going to die an early death because of that. This is going to cause emphysema. This is going to cause a COPD. This is going to hurt you. It's best for you to not do that. Say, well, I got my rights. Yeah, you do. You got your rights. You go right on. You go right on. Amen? Go right on now. Beware. He might just let you have it. Hebrews 11:8 says, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, that means all are partakers of chastisement, then the Bible says ye are bastards and not sons. Bastards here is the Greek word nothos. This word speaks of spurious, illegitimate children. That's a pretty powerful word. Spurious. Children born by bond slave women, as with Ishmael, was born from Hagar, that was fathered by Abraham because of Sarah's ill-advised approval of him getting. Ishmael was a bastard child. He was spurious. He was illegitimate. He was not the child that God wanted for Abraham. He said, I will raise up a seed from you. It speaks of one who is not a part of the father's household. And so, listen, if you have been sidestepping any chastisement and you know you're not living right with God, you know something is not right with you with God and you hadn't been chastised, you might not be a child of God, because he chastises his children when they get out the way. He corrects us. You expect the correction if you know you ain't right. You expect it. If it ain't happening, you need to scratch your head and you need to talk to him about, whoa, where's the switch, Lord? Even I know this ain't right. Maybe something else is going on. No one should have to beat or punish a child nonstop. It shouldn't. And so, you know, the point here is, if you belong to him, it seems that chastisement should only be sporadic and hopefully and eventually not even needed. Amen. If your experience is that you live under constant chastisement, the reason is unbelief. Unbelief and disobedience to the directives of God through his word. If you're constantly under the whip, you need to say, Lord, why? Why is this, whatever it is, Lord, why is this pounding me like this? Why? Let him tell you what it is. You could come to me, I'll pray with you. Maybe he'll show me something. But he can show you. Just ask him. Lord, why does this thing keep happening? What should I do? Why am I under constant pressure? Why is this always going on like this? And find out from him. With my children, I didn't have to get the whip that much with them. Only when I did not have their attention. They weren't listening. And I say it, and I say it, and they wouldn't listen. I get something, I go, whew! And they stand up. I say, now do I got your attention? Yeah. I say, now listen. And I tell them what it is I want to tell them. They say, you got it. Do you understand me? I always went through this. Now, if you don't do it, I'm going to do this. Do you believe me? Yes, I do. I said, I'll do it too. So you go and do like I told you to do, because if you don't, this is going to get it. Do you understand? Yeah, I said, okay, bye, have a good time. See? And it's, sometimes it's just an attention getter. And we didn't spend a whole bunch of time beating on our children and all of that. We just got their attention. All I needed was their attention for them to listen. And then I tell them what I wanted and what's going to happen if we don't do this. And for the most part, we got kids that listen. We had one that was kind of contrary. We had to deal a little bit more with her, but praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12:9 continues here. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and we gave them reverence, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? So our earthly fathers corrected us, and we did as they said. They were imperfect and eventually died, or will die. If we obey the Heavenly Father, he's best called the Father of our spirits, we will have richer, more abundant lives if we obey him. Richer, more abundant lives. Psalms 119, 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That means there won't be any stumbling blocks to stop you or get in your way. Great peace have they that love the Lord's way, and nothing shall offend them. Hebrews 12:10 goes on and says, for they verily, talking about your earthly fathers, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. That's why he does it. Verse 10 tells us that our imperfect human fathers disciplined us imperfectly. But God is perfect, and therefore his discipline is perfect and always for the spiritual good of his people. Always for the spiritual good. The purpose of God's chastisement is for us to partake of or to participate in his holiness. That's why he chastises us, so that we can participate in his holiness. You say, well, God just trying to rain on my parade. He don't want me to have a good time. And then you'd be sick for 2 days having a good time. Wake up first thing in the morning with a blazing headache. And don't open the door and please don't turn on no lights. And they say, good morning. You say, why are you screaming? You know, man, I had a good time last night. And that's what they tell me, you know. Don't even remember. God don't want me to have a good time. Yeah, he does. When he says, thou shalt not, he's saying, don't hurt yourself. When he says, thou shalt, he says, have at it. I bet you there's a lot more thou shalt than there are thou shalt not. Check them out. I bet you there are a lot more thou shalt than thou shalt not. He's saying, don't hurt yourself. And when he says, thou shalt, he says, have it. Have all you can take. You enjoy yourself. He wants us to be like him. That's what he wants. You say, well, I'm an old wretched sinner. I'm covered with sin. You know, I understand what you're trying to say. But Jesus was born with a human body too. He was born sinless, yes. But the power of the Holy Ghost is what kept him in the area where he was. And it's that same power. The Bible says it's the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He will also quicken your mortal bodies by that same spirit that dwelt in Jesus Christ. He will quicken. That means to give life to empower your mortal body, not your immortal body, not your body that's raised from the grave body, your present now body. He will quicken your mortal body by that same spirit that dwells in you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12:10 says, for they verily for a few days chastened us for their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Hallelujah. Verse 11 goes on and says, now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nonetheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Without chastisement, we live loosely, free to participate in ill-advised activities, but this state is one of foolish godlessness. If your flesh man was allowed to do what he wants to do, you're saying just as much as somebody don't even know Jesus. I'm going to say it again. You think, oh, I'm holy. I'm just, listen, you know what? If your flesh man is just let go to do anything he want to do, you got trouble on your hands. You're going to wind up in all kinds of trouble out there. They're going to see, you know, they recognize Jesus in you. They really do. You go out there and mess around with them, they're going to be cutting their eyes at you and say, something ain't right about that one. Something's wrong about that. That's something See, and not only that, you out there, and you're not supposed to be out there. Here comes the chastisement of God upon you. So now here you are, living the wrong kind of way, and you also got the chastisement of God hounding you too. Not only that, some stuff you might pick up for messing around in the wrong place in your physical body. Some sickness or some disease or something like that. Now, he'll forgive you. But when you come back with that thing, he said, oh, but you're going to keep that. Oh, God, heal me. Well, why should I do that? I told you not to do it. You were going to do it. You determined to go and do it. So I let you go do it. And this is what you come back with. I forgive you. But do you want me to do that too? No. Let's call it your thorn in the flesh to buffet you, to keep you, so that you won't be exalted like you were before above measure. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord anyway. So the exercise of spiritual chastisement from God gives us peace. It gives us righteousness because its results it's to turn us away from that which interferes with God's plan and desire for us. Spiritual chastisement. It corrects us. It turns us. Sometimes it can be the slightest little turn. Just the slightest little change that we need to make. It's the same as when you want to have a tree. You plant a tree somewhere and you want it to grow a certain way. And you see that it's growing this way. You may tie it and pull it slightly so that it's at the angle that you want it to grow. And you tie it. That's called chastising that tree. That is, you are correcting that tree, and you're bringing it into line with the way that you want that tree to go, and you tie it. And regardless of how much it tries to go that way, it won't go, it can't go, because it's being chastised. And when it grows, it keeps growing, and it's just growing in that same direction. After a while, you can untie it, and it just continue to grow in that way. See, so it's not even necessary to chastise that tree for the whole life of the tree. As a matter of fact, after a certain point, it grows and gets so big, it's going to go that way anyway. So how about if you're that tree and God chastised you as you're young? You shouldn't be no old, rusty Christian and God still chastising you. You should learn something by now if you're that old, you know. I've seen some so old and just as mean as rattlesnake. God can't even reach them no more. They're through. I mean, there ain't no room for confession of sin in them. There's no room for repentance in them. I've lived this long like this. What do you mean something's wrong with me? Something's wrong with my life. You're the first one came by to tell me what I was doing wasn't right. It's like, I'm sorry. Oh, look at the time. I got to go. In other words, leave them alone. Because as I told one brother, if they won't hear God, they sure enough ain't going to hear you. You can beat your head against the wall all you want. But if they won't hear God, you can say it. And they start kicking back and cutting the fool. It's like, well, maybe they didn't understand it. What I'm trying to say is such and such. And they come back again. It's like, oh. Sound to me like you don't want to hear what I'm saying. I know what to do about that. Make myself scarce. Saturate this place with my absence. Get out of here. Get out of Dodge. And let it go. You want to pray for them? You can. Maybe God will still break them or touch them. But there are some folks, they've made their choice and they're going to go and be and do what they want to do. And God can't stop them, and you sure enough can't stop them. Amen. Hallelujah. It was hard putting this message together. I had to get up and take a break last night. James 3:18 says that, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. That means make peace. Live peaceably. You can have a quiet external environment in your home or lifestyle, and at the same time, have inward turmoil. No sound, everything can be quiet and still have inward turmoil. External peace is not the same as internal peace. It is not the same. The greatest peace that anyone can have is peace with God. the greatest peace that anyone can have is peace with God. Do you have peace with God today? We need that. Peace with God. You know what that entails? You getting in line with God's word. Say, well, that's going to cost me money. Start saving up. You know, if I do that, I got to stop doing this. Well, get ready. If that means I'm going to lose this over here, well, start untying it from the dock or something. To have peace with God, you have got to be willing and ready to let go anything that he tells you to let go, whatever that turns out to be. Amen. I know. It's not totally easy now, but it's possible if he gives it to you. Peace with God. Peace with God. There's nothing like inward peace with God. And sometimes a lot of things that we got to hold to, sometimes we can't see ourselves living without some things. I say, like, say smoking. Say you want to stop smoking. I'm going to stop smoking. And you don't smoke for a week. I made it. And then it goes another 3 days. And you make it. And somebody make you mad. And you say, oh. All right, now that, Now I'm going to hurt somebody or something don't happen here. And, you know, or you get scared about something, or you get upset about something, or your nerves is bad now because you ain't had a smoke in about 2 weeks. And you get to that point where I know what I can do. Number one, to get this thing straight, just one cigarette. But you can't buy one cigarette. You got to buy a pack. And when you buy a pack, you're not going to smoke one and throw the pack away. Hallelujah. Say amen, y'all. You ain't going to throw it away. That would be it. That would say, well, just Lord, let me have one cigarette and I'll be okay. And he said, okay, get a pack and smoke one and throw the pack away. How much sense does that make? Well, I got a whole pack now. No, now I ain't attacking nobody, but I'm just saying. And so you don't have inward peace. I'm trying to give you an example of this. And you can apply it across the board. It could be your job. It could be your car. It could be your mama. It could be your daddy. It could be your brother, your sister, your friend, your enemy. You don't have perfect peace. So what do you do when that person makes you mad? Huh? It happens. It makes you mad. I need a cigarette now. Because I'm about ready to turn this place upside down. Well, you have one of two choices. Either you get another cigarette and smoke it, or you go to a secret place and talk to the Lord about it. Remember, when I am weak, then am I strong. You go and you want to fuss about something. I used to think I was so quiet and so meek and everything, and I never said anything, but I realized that I do talk, but I talk to the Lord more than I do to anyone else. And so that's my point of release. So if I have a heart attack, it'll be something genetic or something that happened, because I do many times get it off my chest, but I talk to him. You go to him and say, Lord, I am ticked right now. I am so upset, Lord, I can spit nails. I can kill right now, Lord. I am mad. You don't go talking about, dear God, thou that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Amen, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Nuh-uh. You go to him right where you are. He already knows it. You get that junk out of you and say, Lord, if you don't help me, I'm going to either smoke a cigarette or I'm going to hurt somebody this day. It's either the cigarette, it's going to be some pain, or you have got to help me and deliver me. Do you believe the Lord today? in that situation, you must really believe him to deliver you. Now, I'm talking to you about where I've been. And then after that prayer, most of the time I wind up in tears from the pain of having to fight through this thing. It hurts. If you're not willing to hurt, then you're not going to get through this thing. Anything that's got a hold on you is not going to just let go because you want to be free. It could be a demon. It could be a habit. It's not going to just let go. Oh, he don't want me here no more. I'm going to let go. The Bible says that sin takes occasion. Sin doesn't ask. God always meekly and comes and tells you exactly what he wants you to know. And it's up to you to obey him. And he'll help you and touch you to do it. But sin does not just up and walk away because you don't like it. You got to be ready to bleed spiritually in the spiritual sense and suffer through this thing. And the first time it might be so rough until you just, you can't hardly sleep. You just, your legs, you're cramping, you know, all kinds of stuff happening. And you make it through. And you come out of that thing saying, whew, okay, wow, that was pretty rough. And the next time something happens to the house or something happens and you go, and you're back there again. You go right back again and say, Lord, I don't want to go commit no crime about this, but I don't see no other way but that or you help me. And say, Lord, please help me. And you get ready to fight through that too. And after a while, that habit will get less and less a hold on you. You'll be able to get upset and not run to it. Something can happen to the house and it might upset you, but it won't be so upset that you're ready to go do a crime or do something else about it. And see, it's not just the breaking of a habit, it's the power of God working in your life also. And it says, when I am weak, then am I strong. When you're in a place where you got to go do that, that's a weakness. You're weak. You're falling back on something else rather than depending upon him. I'm not fussing. I'm just telling you that this is how that is. That's how it's been with me. I've been accused of things that work and everything like that. And I've been so devastated. And all I knew to do was to just talk to the Lord about it. And man, did he bless me. Man, did he bless me. He told me about his love for me. He told me about his plan for me. He never did address the situation I was asking about. He told me about who I was in him. He says, I know the plans I have for you, plans of good and not evil, to bring you to an expected end. I love you. He was, his eyes on the sparrow. I mean, he just blessed me, blessed my soul. I went back to work. I was so free. Hallelujah. God loves me. He's in my corner here. And whatever that thing was, it just dissipated. The person that made the accusation denied ever saying it. I'm saying I was one in the room, and this was another in the room, and we sat right across you and looked in your mouth when you said it. She said, I never said that. I said, oh, well, case closed. Amen. God will bring you through. Sometimes he'll do it with chastisement and punishment. But don't fret. It's a good thing because he's bringing you around to where he wants you to be. Amen. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for Hebrews 12, which is deep in a different way than Hebrews 11. And oh God, help us learn to obey you at all costs. And Lord, if we don't obey you, go ahead, please, chastise us and correct us so that we can learn the way of obedience. Lord, keep us, free us, and we thank you for your love and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.